people who spent more time looking at job posting sites were more likely to quit their job because they have more of a perception of there being other options out there. Same with people who look on dating apps while they're in a monogamous relationship are more likely to leave that relationship because it's adding to that perception of having more choices. And it's not, you know, that alone doesn't do it, but that's part of this equation. So it's your treasures minus your troubles added to your contributions minus your choices or your perceived choices.
Welcome to the Multi-Amory Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
We believe in looking to the future of relationships, not maintaining the status quo of the past.
So whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, swinging, casually dating, or if you just do relationships differently, we see you and we're here for you.
On this episode of the Multi-Amory Podcast, we're continuing our discussion on self-worth and comparison in relationships. And this week, we're going to be focusing more on the comparison part. So how can it affect our relationships, not just with romantic relationships, but also with your peers and even with yourself? How does comparing yourself and your relationships to others affect you? And then what can we do about that? What can we do to improve that?
Again, here I am providing my own personal anecdote of here. Yeah, this is a tough one for me, comparison for sure. And, you know, I think I compare myself to not only like my friends, my business partners, you two, but also I do find myself comparing to people that are like my colleagues and peers in ways that make me feel a little bit better about myself at times. It's like I'm in a job where I work at a restaurant. I work at Sun Cafe and I've been there for years and years and years, but I'm like their number one employee. Essentially, I can say that pretty confidently. I've been there for 10 years and I know the ropes. Like I'm always the person that gets to help everyone out, like when they come and I'm helping training them and stuff like that. And so I feel confident about that job. And when I see people who are younger than I am coming in, I feel like I'm in more of a leadership position there. And I compare myself to where they are and I feel good about myself because I'm like, no, I know what I'm doing here. I don't have to worry about this job or this thing. And so that's really interesting, though, because it's almost as though I'm comparing myself, maybe not negatively, but like in a negative or seeing them in like a lesser than situation, perhaps. Whereas in other ways, I see myself as the one who is less than to other people in my life, like my peers. So
I mean, I'm just amazed to hear that you have any experience of comparing yourself to someone and you compare yourself more favorably than them.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a win. Keep on keeping on. Keep doing it.
Oh, gosh. I feel bad for even saying that. But no, but I definitely do like at times. And it's not like in a mean way, but rather just that, oh, I see myself that I am more able, I guess, to understand like how this job works or what it's like to take 100 covers in a day and not feel like I'm going to die, like those kind of things. So yeah, I guess from that standpoint, I feel good about that type of comparison. But we are going to talk about that like upward and downward social comparison a lot on the show today. And I guess I'm curious, does that happen to the two of you? Because again, it seems like you're just like these pillars of strength and never compare yourself or never do anything. Yeah.
Gosh. Oh my goodness.
Along those lines.
Gosh, Emily, gosh, you've really bought into the lies, I guess.
Yeah, I have. Maybe it's y'all's fault for feeding me these lies for
most
years.
Most likely.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's funny to notice the areas where I do compare myself. I think that actively the past few years I've been really trying to not, or at least trying to catch myself, notice when I do, and then just divert and just literally do anything else other than keep up with the comparison. Because, yeah, no, I totally tend to, I don't know, I love being better at things than other people. And
sure, yeah.
So I'm trying to rein that in and be aware of that. But I don't know, it's just so funny how you notice, I don't know, my brain, I think, just goes there by default all the time. And it's so fast how quickly it happens, how you can step into a room and just so quickly size up where you think you are in the hierarchy, whether it's the hierarchy of who has the most experience here, who's the most knowledgeable here, who's going to be the best or worst at this skill, who's the most attractive or least attractive, that our brains can work so quickly to just figure out, okay, where do I fit?
Yeah, it's comparison's such an interesting thing, because I don't think that, and we'll probably get into this a little more through the episode, but that it's not inherently a bad thing. And that I remember a while back, you know, reading about some studies talking about the importance of comparison for development, you know, when you're young, because it helps you understand where you fit in terms of your skill level in different areas, right? So an example of that in kind of adult life would be if I'm kind of running some comparisons in my head about, I don't know, maybe like writing ability or artistic ability of myself versus peers or other people that I see online or whatever, that there's value to that. If it's like, okay, I kind of have a sense of these people are better than me at this, so that might be the kind of person I'd want to hire to do something like that, or that I would recommend to a friend who's looking for an artist over me trying to do it and like really struggling and having to work really hard to get something good when it's like, I know someone's better than me. And also, I guess, on the other hand, of like, I know this person's not good at this thing compared to me, so I can more confidently say, actually, I should be the one to do this thing.
Yeah.
So like, that's not inherently bad. But when we so easily slip into that idea of then associating that with our worth, that's where we can get ourselves into trouble. So it's I feel like comparison's a really interesting one, because it's not inherently bad and actually is a really useful skill. But we have to be careful of how we're doing it and how we're approaching it to not fall into that, right? And I would say that that exact situation I just described, I can also, in the wrong, you know, mental state, turn that into something where I'm feeling bad about myself.
Yeah.
And my lack of artistic ability compared to someone else or something like that, right? So it's just, I think part of it depends on the thing you're comparing about. How much do you associate that with worth? You know, how much is that skill of yours or that ability of yours or that trait of yours tied to what you think makes you good? If it's like, I'm great because I'm good at sex, and then I compare myself to someone who I think is better at sex than me, it's like, now I'm not as desirable. I'm bad. Even if it's this perceived other person my partner's dating that I don't really know anything about, but I imagine they're better than me, and I'm doing this mental comparison based on not a lot of good evidence.
Yeah.
Right. Then I can, that can lead me down a, you know, spiral of feeling depressed and envious and jealous and all that, versus, you know, versus another situation where either I have more accurate data or it's less tied with self-worth.
Yeah. I think it's
very insightful.
That is.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I love that.
I'm really insightful compared to my peers.
Jeez. Yeah, you're on that upward social comparison right there already. Right. Yeah. No, yeah, I think I just am like, I hope that the listeners of this show, like, I'm always worried that the listeners of the show aren't like, oh, Emily is definitely the weak link here. And if she cast off, it wouldn't really matter. It would be like just fine. So that's the main thing that I'm like, the main comparison that I struggle with, I think, on being on this podcast, that I'm not like as accomplished as the two of you in various ways. And so therefore I have to pep myself up, like give myself a pep talk and bring myself up in various ways whenever I can.
But I mean, a few years ago, Jace already came to the conclusion that he's actually the dead weight of multi-amory.
That was officially stated on the episode. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I think that's just inherently incorrect, considering all of the stuff that you do.
And I also feel like I'm constantly telling people about, you know, how important your contributions are to this show, Emily. So you're wrong.
I didn't know that. Thanks.
Compared to your co-hosts, you're bad at comparing yourself to others.
Definitely. 100%. I'm very bad at it. For better or for worse, I'm bad at it.
Yeah, so I feel like what happens with comparison is, at least I know in my personal experience, is often it's just instant shame, really. Especially when I'm comparing myself and I find myself lacking in some particular way. And we have done a number of episodes on shame and on the shame response, and that basically once that seed gets in there, and then that's a whole host of all kinds of different emotions and maladaptive responses, you know? So everything from withdrawing, freezing, or getting angry, or lashing out, or, you know, just completely losing perspective on who it is that we are, or completely trying to avoid it, or trying to deny it, or whatever. And so I do think that's often the thing that happens with those negative comparisons.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out a shame thing that happened recently with the three of us, where it was actually during the episode on all of the different studies that we did, where I, in the middle of recording, like couldn't really understand what I was reading, or it was just like not coming out the way that I wanted to. And I had like an extreme shame triggered reaction during that the two of you were witness to, where I was frozen. Like my brain was like not really processing it well or something, or I just like, I was completely unable to continue like my thought process or ideas about what I was seeing in front of me. I also was really upset with myself, and also it sort of made me like feel like I was lashing out at the two of you, or especially at Jace in that moment. And then also I felt like I was going to cry at the same time. So it was like all of that together, which really sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can be really intense for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, that self-esteem / comparing / shame response can be really, really intense within us if we have moments like this where we just, we're triggered by something and we can't really move past it very easily.
But then on the flip side of that, you know, you can make a comparison to another person and come to the conclusion that, oh, they're beneath me and I'm superior. And while that can feel good, that can also lead to feeling contempt. You know, we talked about that fairly recently in an episode, that if you, on a particular issue with your partner, for instance, feel like I'm morally superior or ethically superior to them, or I don't know, financially superior, what, you know, mentally superior, whatever it is, that can really encourage those contempt behaviors where I talk down to you, or I'm really dismissive of you, or I really belittle your viewpoint and your experience in things.
Also, if we're, you know, boosting our own self-esteem or self-worth by comparing ourselves to others that we think are less than us in some area, if something happens in our life where suddenly we become less in that, we've internalized all of this negativity toward people not doing as well, such as, you know, I'm going to make myself feel better by looking at other people who are breaking up and being like, I'm so great because my relationship's still going. When you have a breakup, and I'm speaking from experience, then when you do end up having that breakup, it's much more devastating because you built so much of your self-worth on the fact that you had a relationship that wasn't breaking up. And so now that thing, which is a totally natural thing and happens to people, you've now associated with people who are worse than you.
Fascinating.
Right. And in all, this comes up in all sorts of areas, and also ties in with a lot of other stuff, like, you know, internalized ableism. And, you know, there's like so many pieces that go into that. But yeah, it is that thing of like, maybe it'll make you feel good right now, but it can also really backfire and potentially damage your relationships, like Dedeker was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk quickly about something called social comparison theory in psychology, because I know it's very easy to compare ourselves to others, even though maybe it's something that we're taught not to do. It happens, especially, you know, in our society, we just tend to compare. And I think often our parents teach us to compare, our friends maybe, or to other people who are academically doing better than us, or, you know, teaching us to be competitive, I think, from a young age in a lot of those different ways. And competition can be good, like Jace said.
Right. All comparison's not bad necessarily.
No, definitely. I think that can be good. But when it gets to a point where we feel shame or that really intrinsic guilt or upset about something, I think that's when it can be a big issue. So social comparison theory in psychology, this is from Very Well Mind, an article in Very Well Mind. Social comparison theory was first talked about and proposed in 1954 by this psychologist named Leon Festinger. I'm assuming he was perhaps German.
Festinger, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, it's exciting. It's a fun name. And it essentially suggests that people have an innate drive to evaluate themselves, often in comparison to others. And the social comparison process involves people coming to know themselves by evaluating their own attitudes, abilities, and traits in comparison with others.
So now, that's kind of what I was talking about. Like, as you're developing your sense of self, part of that is how am I similar and different to other people? And so that is kind of this essential intrinsic thing. So that is worth acknowledging that it's right there.
Sure, absolutely. And probably something that we do just as kids, regardless. I mean, we're trying to sort of
understand
our place
in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we may have butchered this a bit before, but now we're going to talk about upward and downward social comparison. So upward social comparison takes place when we compare ourselves to those who we believe are better than us. So that makes sense. So I see
you're looking upward. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I see someone who I want to be like, or who I wish that I were more like them in a certain way, and that is that upward social comparison. So we focus on the desire to improve our current status or level of ability. Now, downward social comparison takes place when we compare ourselves to others who are worse off in some way than us, and that may be a perception, that may be reality, but we're looking at, you know, social downward comparisons are centered on making ourselves feel better about our abilities or traits. We see someone like, oh, well, I've done more national commercials than this person, or I am, you know, got an A in psychology and they got a B, something like that.
Right. I mean, and a lot of our institutions in education are kind of built around this, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm on the dean's list because I'm in the 85th percentile, or you know, whatever it is. It's based on this. My value comes specifically from my comparison to other people rather than some objective measure or something like that. Or grading on a curve is an example of that.
Yeah. We do have a couple studies discussing social comparison. The first is called Social Comparison as a Predictor of Body Dissatisfaction, a Meta-Analytic Review. So this included data from 156 studies.
Wow.
Which is
that's a lot.
Yeah. And it showed that social comparison was related to higher levels of body dissatisfaction. And the effect for social comparison and body dissatisfaction was stronger for women than men and inversely related to age.
So the younger you are,
The
more likely you were to do comparison and feel dissatisfied with your body.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise
Perhaps
me,
as
I guess.
You age, you're like, yeah, whatever. I don't
think that some people, not all people, anecdotal evidence do reached some kind of breaking point of finally not giving any fucks.
Yeah.
Results confirm theory and research suggesting that comparing oneself unfavorably to another on the basis of appearance may lead to dissatisfaction with one's own appearance. I guess that makes sense as well. But, that's something that we're often kind of taught to do and that happens so much in social media these days, because we see all of these stunningly, you know, perfect people, or more desirably superior people, perhaps, or people that we deem to be socially desirable. And it's hard because we're kind of bombarded with that in our media and especially in social media these days. So it makes sense that if we're looking at a bunch of people online or in other ways, then yeah, we may compare ourselves disfavorably.
And think about over the years, just the explosion, this exponential increase in how many examples you have to compare yourself to, right? Think about going 100%. Back to ancient history where I'm surrounded by a group of anywhere from 10 to 200 people. That's who I'm comparing myself to up until we have mass media where it, you know, again, more opportunities and more examples to compare myself to. And now with social media where it's just, I mean, it's an endless scroll.
It's an infinite
right?
scroll, yeah.
Infinite yeah. scroll. It never stops, which is us tough. You know, I think it's tough and it's really overwhelming. Now, here's the tough part is there's evidence to suggest that our brains like this shit. So this is just a little factoid pulled from this article, this study titled Brain Mechanisms of Social Comparison and Their Influence on the Reward System. So there's this part of your brain called the ventral striatum is what I'm going to call it or how I'm going to pronounce it. But so
oh, you
it's
brain
a part of,
people out there, sorry.
Yeah, brain, sorry. Sorry to the brain doctors and brain scientists and brain
neuroscientists. Yeah.
We are not those people. Oh, we should text your dad real quick, Jace. He would probably know.
Yeah.
He knows about brain stuff.
Hey, Dad, anyway, how do you pronounce the ventral striatum?
Striatum?
The ventral striatum. So anyway, it's a part of your brain that reacts to what are known as both primary rewards and secondary rewards. So the example they give for a primary reward is like something that tastes good. So I guess the kind of that direct sense experience of this feels good. I like this. And then secondary rewards, the example they give is like a monetary incentive. So it's like the experience of maybe someone putting money in my hand maybe is not inherently pleasant, but I know that that's going to lead to, cool, I got $100 or I'm going to go spend it on this cool thing or whatever. And that activates the reward center of the brain. And so this portion of the brain does seem to play a role in forming kind of the associations between stimulus and reward. And some recent research indicates that social comparison in particular exerts a strong and reliable effect on the ventral striatum. So there is almost a little bit of, there's something in our nervous system that's like, no, this is good. You should do that. Yeah, it's good to compare.
Compare yourself. Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. I wonder if part of it's that whole thing of intermittent rewards are more addictive than consistent rewards.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you're comparing yourself to others, it's like, well, sometimes I'm going to come out good and sometimes I'm not. And so maybe there's like an addictive quality to that. Oh, I'm looking for that
right.
one where I feel good about myself.
I didn't think about that. I've thought about that a lot with the years past when I used to be much more obsessive with like checking an ex's social media intermittent reward thing of like maybe once out of every 20 times I'll feel better about myself based on what I see going on in their life, but the rest of the time I'm not. But your brain is still like, any reward is better than no reward, so let's keep checking. But yeah, I guess that would make sense with the comparison thing.
That makes a lot of sense. Yikes.
Yikes
brain. Jeez.
Yikes brain. Get over yourself.
It's almost like you didn't really evolve with social media in mind.
No,
yeah,
right?
It's almost like you didn't think this through, brain. Yeah, or evolution. Geez. I don't know who I'm mad at even.
I don't think evolution could have predicted what we are going through currently or the capabilities of the internet and social media.
I guess evolution's pretty reactive, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we'll eventually evolve the ventral striatum that is the part that makes us feel terrible when we do social media and we all just stop.
There you well, go. We're working on that based on the way I feel whenever I'm on social media.
good.
On the forefront of evolution.
Love that. We're really pushing evolution forward. That's great. All right, we're going to take a quick break to talk about some ways that you can support this show if you're enjoying getting this information. And we love putting this out there for all of you for free. And one of the ways that we do that is through our Patreon and also through our advertisers. So if you can take a moment to check out our advertisers, and if any seem cool to you, go check them out. Try out our promo codes. It does directly help us, and we really appreciate that. For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
So now we're going to talk about interpersonal comparisons about relationships, right? So not just comparing yourself to others, but comparing your relationship or kind of how you feel about your partner to other people's relationships or how you perceive other people feel about their partners. And so to start this off, there's a study called Relationship Social Comparison Interpretations and Dating Relationship Quality, Behaviors, and Mood.
That's a big mouthful. My goodness.
Just kind of threw a bunch of slightly related words together for that title there. But this particular study wanted to look at how people compare themselves, specifically compare their relationships to other people's, and looking at both these upward comparisons and downward comparisons. So they looked at how, you know, we can look at these upward comparisons, which sometimes can make us feel better, maybe kind of inspired, but that most of the time make us feel worse about ourselves. And then that we use downward comparisons to minimize our negative self-images or reduce some sort of threat to our well-being. So that might be an example of I'm not feeling good in my relationship, or I'm worried that it's going to end or something like that. And so I'll look at other people who are worse off and go, okay, maybe I'm all right. Like using it as a way to minimize that, right? And they aren't, I guess according to this study, those downward comparisons aren't always bad. It's not always putting someone down. Like maybe it's just trying to calibrate where we are compared to them, but that generally we do that in order to make ourselves feel better. But that both the upward and the downward can have either positive or negative effects for the individual who's doing it. And they were looking at how one of the reasons that you can have those opposite outcomes for either one has to do with how we interpret that social comparison. So it's not just who we're comparing ourselves to, but then what's the value that we're putting on it, right? Are we looking at this in terms of hope for the future, like if we're doing an upward comparison? Or are we looking at that upward comparison and saying, oh, well, my relationship's not doing well because I'm not as good as that?
Right.
Or, you know, they also gave the example of, hey, I'm struggling with this thing and I'm feeling bad. And I do an upward comparison to someone who I think has a good relationship. And if I see, oh, they also struggle with this sometimes, that can help, right? That can make me feel better, even if I'm like, they're the goal and I'm not as good as they are. But it's like, oh, but I have something in common. So there's hope, right? Versus looking at them and going, oh, I'll never have that. So my relationship must be bad, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so basically, just to kind of summarize some of their findings from this particular study, and I guess it's worth keeping in mind that this is all undergrads. Everyone in this study was undergrads and almost all white, I think 85% white. So, you know, as always, there's those caveats. And basically what they found is that overall, as expected, more often when doing a downward comparison, people felt better about themselves than when they did upward comparisons. They also found that in their study, people tended to have more positive than negative interpretations of the comparisons they made. So maybe people seem to gravitate toward the ones that make them feel better more often than the ones that make them feel bad. Again, at least amongst their participants. And that negative interpretations, you know, so whichever direction you were looking, if you interpreted it in more negative way for yourself, were associated with not only lower rates of satisfaction, but also less commitment to their partner, less positive affect to their partner, and also kind of more what they called exit behavior of that kind of, I'm distancing myself, I may be looking for other options, I'm kind of less, which is also sort of tied to commitment, but that would, those negative interpretations over time would tend to lead toward the relationship ending as well.
Gosh.
That's something we've talked about a little bit on this show, just the idea that I think because we have such a huge array of different like dating apps and stuff like that out there, that we are bombarded with all of this choice and the potential for new people to be with or something along those lines. And I do wonder kind of how that correlates to this study, just in terms of how often are you looking at a different person and comparing who you're with to maybe somebody on a dating app or like somebody else that you see out there that might be single or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And what does that do for you? And is that, you know, something that we should be doing? I mean, is all of this choice like a good thing or not?
Yeah, there's something that I came across before. Heidi Reeder, Dr. Heidi Reeder is the one who I think created this first, but basically a formula for commitment, for like a level of commitment.
Wow.
And she puts it as your treasures minus your troubles. So that's basically good stuff is positive. So like, these are all the things that are good about my relationship or my job or whatever, right? This is commitment to anything minus your troubles. So your troubles are all the complaints you have, right? All the bad stuff.
Okay.
And then you add that to your contributions, which is kind of like the whole sunk cost thing. It's like, how much have I already invested in this particular job or relationship or whatever?
Yeah.
Minus my perception of what other options I have, which she calls your choices.
That's one that's come up in a lot of studies, is that... Especially if there's a tendency to like negatively compare your partner to the other options, it's like a death knell for your relationship.
Yeah. Totally. So like in the research, they found things like people who spent more time looking at job posting sites were more likely to quit their job because they have more of a perception of there being other options out there. Same with people who look on dating apps while they're in a monogamous relationship are more likely to leave that relationship because it's adding to that perception of having more choices. And it's not, you know, that alone doesn't do it, but that's part of this equation. So it's your treasures minus your troubles added to your contributions minus your choices or your perceived choices.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting stuff, but it definitely seems to track with a lot of these other things that we look at like this.
Totally. Yeah.
So how does this all play out with non-monogamy? I don't think any non-monogamous person has ever compared themselves
to
anyone else. We're all well-adjusted people.
Yeah, 100%.
So we don't have any research studies to pull from. Do they exist yet? I'm sure some of the existing research on non-monogamy has probably touched on these things like self-worth and
jealousy and metamors and stuff.
I don't think we're aware of any study that's just about comparison behaviors or mindsets with non-monogamous folks, so we can't speak from that particular standpoint. But this is something that a lot of people have talked about. We've talked about it on this show before. A lot of other creators in this space do talk about this. So in particular, we're looking at a blog post from Polyamoring by our good friend of the show, Fee, who wrote this post called Sabotage by Comparison. And Fee talks about the fact that, you know, as we said early in the episode, we're conditioned from very early on to compare and also to compete in a lot of different aspects of our existence. And so, of course, it makes sense that we would measure our own value in the same way in our relationships as well. In this article, Fee talks about how, and I think I've experienced this, have also seen a lot of people go through this with non-monogamy, of it can be so easy to compare, well, what am I getting from my partner versus what are they giving to my metamor? What is my metamor getting? And I think that when we take this to the extreme, we can see those behaviors around, for instance, okay, I can only feel secure if I know I'm getting more time than any other partner, right, or if I'm getting more sex, or if I'm getting the most special date nights, or if you're spending the most money on me. Like, as long as I can do the downward comparison with my metamor, then I feel good and I feel secure and I feel like my needs are getting met. And Fee talks about the fact that it was this journey to refocus on, okay, no, but what are actually just like my needs and the needs of this relationship with my partner, as opposed to comparing it to my metamor's needs, what they're getting or what they're not getting. And it's like, that's the thing that I need to focus on. And again, this is something that I'm often having to coach people through as well. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it is just our human nature that I think comparison and trying to get yourself into a place where I'm quote unquote winning in the comparison feels like such low hanging fruit. Like, it feels so tempting of like, that's going to be the thing that's going to make me feel secure, regardless of like, this is even a thing that I wanted. I think that's the thing that I see people in our patron group talk about all the time, of like, I don't even want to go to this particular LARPing event, but now that my partner's taking their other partner, now I want that. And
right, yeah.
Sometimes that can be valid. Sometimes maybe that can highlight to you, oh, actually, that does sound fun. Or it can just be about, I'm sort of doing a weird comparison dance with my own needs versus what my metamor's needs or wants might be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Have y'all had experiences with that before?
Absolutely. Yeah,
Didn't we do an episode a long time ago about like, do I actually want this thing? I talked about do I really want this Xbox?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Everyone's getting Teslas. Gosh, is that actually what I want? Even if I could afford it, is that what I would spend it on? You know, that sort of thing of, you get caught up in that, well, someone else has it, so I should want that too and be upset that I don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like what Fee says here about refocus your energy on what it is you want to feel in your relationship. If you can only feel secure in a relationship when someone else's needs are being ignored or pushed aside, then what you're working with is a type of hierarchy that very quickly becomes toxic and harmful to others. Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Yeah,
it can be hard to have that honesty with yourself of like, oof, that's what I think will make really me doing? Feel secure. And also it probably won't. I'm just gonna be real with you. It also probably won't actually make you feel that much better.
No, it's probably a deeper problem that needs to be worked on there.
And then I'm also looking at this 2018 article from Polyland. I believe it's Paige, right?
Paige Turner.
I'm sorry, Polyland. Yeah. Yes, Paige Turner. Okay. where they talk about how, really though, at a fundamental level, that when we compare ourselves, it's just about assessing similarity and dissimilarity. It's just about our pattern-seeking brains trying to find the pattern. Where does the pattern match and where does it not match? It's kind of like the matching-mismatching thing that we've talked about on the show before. But then the problem comes in when we start using that to rank people and we start assigning value to those differences, right? And yeah, I can speak to my personal experience that some of the times when I know I felt the happiest, the most fulfilled, the most equilibrium when having multiple partners has been the times when I do have an awareness of the similarities and dissimilarities, but that's okay. It's like, I'm not necessarily ranking like, oh, clearly this is the far superior relationship and this is the far inferior relationship, or this partner is just like way better than this other one. But I'm also not trying to lump them both into the same category and claim like, oh, these two people are just like equal. You know, I know for me, it was kind of being able to hold those differences, but not assign value to them. And also the same for myself and my metamors, you know, the times that I've been able to reach that place of like, okay, I can see that this person is the same in this way and we're not the same in this other way. And like, that's okay. Like we're both here and unique, and the things that make us unique are good. We don't want to be exactly the same and we don't want to be jockeying for some kind of particular ranking. And then like, that's been really, really helpful versus, you know, of course, times in the past where I've just compared myself either favorably or not favorably all over the place to a metamor, or same thing with partners, honestly.
Yeah.
That usually, I think something that I've learned about myself is like, if it starts creeping in that direction where it becomes clear, like, oh, I always have a favorable opinion of this one partner and always an unfavorable opinion of another partner, just that I need to examine some stuff, probably both within myself and also within the relationships, right? Of like, is there something going on that's causing that?
Paige also had a really interesting article called Unhelpful NRE Comparisons. And it discussed how some people compare the NRE they had with their partner, you know, at the beginning of their relationship to NRE that their partner is having with someone else kind of in the moment. And there was an interesting quote from that. Paige is talking about someone else having this experience, and this was their quotation. I worked for years to get the privileges I got with her, and they're basically weeks into this, and she's practically wifed up with him. It doesn't seem right to me that he is just given what I had to work to earn. That's really, really interesting. And Paige kind of goes on to discuss with this person, like, hey, you're a different person, and they're a different person than you were when you started your relationship. And, you know, your partner may be more open and vulnerable now, and the ability to move faster and more quickly in a relationship may just simply be because there was work that was done to sort of get them to that point. And that you have to accept that like, you're not going to have similar experiences necessarily with your metamors. And that's okay. And it may move at a faster rate, like feelings may move at a faster rate. And that also is okay. But I mean, that's difficult, especially when NRE tends to be such a really charged emotional thing that happens. And it can be kind of disorienting, I think, at times for partners, especially more established partners.
It's interesting in reading this, an area where this is very well documented and has been studied for a long time is in siblings, where an older sibling will have to like really work to earn some privilege or convince their parents to let them do something. Or maybe the parents say, well, not until you're 12, then you can do this thing, or not until you're 16, or, you know, kind of whatever it is. And then their younger sibling gets it way younger than they did. And it's that same thing of like, what? Like, I had to work so hard to like convince them to let us do this or to get to a certain age, and they just get it for free at the same time I do. How I dealt with this a lot with my younger brother. So I can, you know, I can relate to this.
My older sister has complained about that a lot over the years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an only child, so whatever.
But I think what's interesting there is just seeing how this is not something that's unique to metamor experiences.
Yeah.
And yet that is sort of a unique application of that a lot of people wouldn't even think of that kind of, I had to work so hard for this and you just get it for free. That sort of feeling. But that is something a lot of us have experienced in our lives already with our siblings.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how do we stop this shit? How do we stop?
Oh boy.
Comparing?
Good question.
Everything we talked about though makes it sound like it's impossible. Like our society is like, yes, do that. Our parents are like, yes, do that. Even our brains are like, yes, do that. I love that. Is there any hope?
Hmm. And that, you know, that's a great question. And I kind of, it brings me back to what I mentioned before of, There's one is maybe how can we stop ourselves from comparing as much? But then also, is there a way we can be comparing better? That is in a little bit more of an objective way rather than assigning value judgments and ranks and hierarchy to it. So first to start out, we're going to go through some tips. And this is kind of a summary of some things from a Psych Central blog post called Stop Comparing, Start Enriching Your Relationship. So basically, stop comparing is what we're talking about here, right? Is this, how do you stop that? And in this, it's not to say don't look at other relationships or don't even think about them, but instead reframe it a little bit. So starting by remembering that nobody really knows what goes on between two people besides them. And I would take that even a step further than this author did and say, even those two people in that relationship don't understand the experience of the other one, right? We can't ever really know anyone else's full experience. And so this is a good reminder, especially when it comes to things like social media, where we just don't know the details of it. And so we're only getting some impression and then we're filling in all the gaps. And we might fill those in with bad things or good things or kind of whatever, but just to realize that probably the majority of what you think you're comparing to is stuff that you've made up, stuff that you've created to fill in all the gaps of all the stuff you don't know, which is most of the stuff.
This is good with metamors as well. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
When we're looking at our partner's relationship with their partners, these are good tips as well.
Yeah. Another one is to recognize that someone's idea of a perfect relationship might be very different from yours. So maybe you look at these other people and you think their relationship's so much better than mine. And actually to them, maybe it's terrible and worse, right? Or vice versa, right? Or you look at someone else and go, gosh, I would never want to fight all the time like them. And they're like, oh yeah, all this fighting is so hot. I love it. Right? Whatever it is, they might have a different perspective from you. So again, just kind of reminding yourself that you're not seeing objective truth with anybody else. And then in this blog, it talks about stopping comparing your present significant other to past partners or your best friend's relationship or some fantasy partner in your head. And again, we would take this step further and say, look, that's also metamors too. Mm-hmm. Or your friend's partner's metamors relationship or whatever it is, right? There's so many options, but just kind of saying, hey, that's not helpful. And instead to focus back on, am I actually not happy with something in this? Maybe that comparison helps me see that, but that comparison isn't the truth. It might just help me get some perspective or at least help give me things to think about. But ultimately, the answer is in what am I experiencing? What is my relationship with my partner? Not how does it exactly compare to someone else's? And then to move to start enriching. So that's just actually focusing on your own relationship. So reminding yourself of the things you love about your partner or taking responsibility for your own role when things aren't going as well as you'd like. You know, you can't make your partner into a different person, but you can change your own behavior or you can be more proactive in your communication with your partner to try to actually institute some changes. Or you might have to recognize that hard truth of, I actually am not very happy in this relationship. And I'm thinking by comparing to others, I can try to force it to be that. And maybe it's not, but kind of getting real about what do I actually have here in this relationship. And then the last one they have here is just to have more touch with your partner. This is an interesting one. I'm like, huh, that's kind of different because all the others have been pretty mental in terms of how you're thinking about things. And this is just have more physical touch, just more hugs, more handholding, more kissing, I guess, you know, kind of see if that helps. I don't
like
know.
I think that's,
yeah.
Reach out and touch me. Isn't that Depeche Mode?
Touch
reach
faith.
Out and kiss me. No.
It's
trying to touch faith.
Damn yeah, because you're because
your
it's your own personal
Jesus,
Jesus,
and I don't think it's about touching your partner. But
okay, never
unless
mind.
Your partner is Jesus,
Jesus,
I think it is about that. I think it's about dating Jesus.
Now we're on to something.
Wait, was Depeche Mode like secretly a Christian band?
I'm
good
pretty
heavens,
sure that song
no.
"Sacrilegious" is all
oh,
get out.
Okay,
Marilyn
I don't
Manson
know.
Covered it. I don't. Yeah, I don't think it's a. It's a secretly Christian
song. They're talking
song.
About reach out and touch faith. So, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that would be funny, though.
To be fair, Marilyn Manson has a lot of Bible quotes in his liner notes. I mean, it's all from Revelation true. And stuff like that, but still.
Got
he's
it.
Not afraid of a Bible now and again.
There it is. All right. Now, how to stop comparing yourself to others. This is from a betterup.com blog, and it has 10 different ways to stop comparing yourself to others. The first is to be aware of your triggers and avoid them if you can. So that can mean, like, I don't know, you know, if I end up looking at social media a lot, and that is something that's really challenging for me because I keep comparing myself to all of the models on there or the Instagram influencers. Maybe be aware of that and stop it.
Or maybe it's the, like, blocking or unfollowing your exes, like Dedeker was mentioning, that thing of, like, I know this is a temptation, so I'm just going to make that less tempting by making it not in my feed.
Exactly. Yeah. The next one is limit your time on social media. I think that that's with both of those things. Don't check out your ex's stuff. Don't necessarily look at the things that are going to trigger you if it's challenging for you to go on there and you find yourself comparing yourself to others.
Yeah, just in general, just less time on social media it's been shown time and time again on various studies that people's well-being goes down the more time they spend on social media in a whole lot of areas of life. So just social media is part of life. It's important we all do it, but just as much as you can, limit it because it's really not good for you.
Yeah. I mean, I would take issue with the statement that it's important that we all do it, but we can unpack that on another episode.
Oh, I said that was it's important, comma, and we all do it.
That's true.
Sorry.
Okay.
But that's all good clarification.
I really need your punctuation in there.
You're right.
This is an interesting one. Stop comparing other people's outsides to your own insides. And essentially, I think that's like placing a value judgment on someone because their life looks super beautiful and perfect and awesome. This is a good one for me. And then therefore, that means that I am unworthy of love or whatever. And essentially, saying that somebody else's outsides mean that my insides are not good. Stop it.
Right, because you know all the shit that goes on your insides, but all you see is their shiny photoshopped outsides.
Exactly. Another good one is money doesn't buy happiness. And this is so true. I mean, geez, as much as I would like to think that, like, if I just had a little bit more money, then maybe I'd be happier. There's people out there who are gajillionaires and they're super, super unhappy. So it's just a good thing to remind oneself of.
We have to acknowledge the financial realities of this world of money can buy a certain amount of happiness. I think, like you were talking about, Emily, of like, if money can buy you, I don't have to stress about making rent this month, or I don't have to stress about an unexpected expense, or like I can pay for food, then yes, money definitely buys happiness. But when we're going beyond that, it is kind of a weird thing. I recently had an experience in the past few weeks. I don't know why this has happened, but I've had more conversations with some friends and other people about money and about income. And I've been in a place for a while where I've been quite happy with the amount of money that I make, in the sense that, like, I can pay my rent and I can pay my bills and things like that. And then I had a couple conversations with people where we were just talking very frankly about the amount of money that we make. And when it was clear, like, all these people made more money than me, all of a sudden I felt bad about the amount of money that I made, even though I'm like, but I like my life and I like my relationship to money right now. And so that is kind of the funny thing, where it almost reminds me of Fee's article about needing to really change the scope of what I'm actually looking at here, instead of just making it about comparing directly to other people, but really changing the scope to, like, my life and what I actually need and what actually works for me.
Yeah. The next one is practice gratitude. This is a great one. As much as, I don't know, it's kind of become like the lunchbox or poster child thing of, you know, what we should be doing in order to make ourselves feel better. I do think that it's a good one. And it has, I think studies have shown that this is actually a way to help ourselves feel better. Just be grateful for what you have. And it is a gift to be here, I think. even though this world is a nutty place, it is a wonderful place to be. And there are a lot of things that we can all be grateful for. And that's something to really be aware of. Jace, this is one for you. Comparison can be used as motivation. It can.
Oh, yeah, that's what I keep saying.
There you go. Yeah, it's not always a bad thing. It's good to be able to see people that we see things within them that we want to strive for, and that, you know, maybe they have a career that we would like to have as well, or are particularly good at something that we want to get better at, things along those lines. Like, don't use comparison as a way to feel shitty about yourself, but rather as a motivating factor. Focus on your strengths, and we're about to do an exercise on that momentarily, but that's super important. Remember all of the things that you are good at. Celebrate other people. That's, again, like getting outside of your own head and outside of yourself. Celebrate other people's achievements. You know, call somebody up and tell them that you're grateful for them and that, you know, congratulations on something that they just did that was really awesome. You know, that can help you out a lot. Yeah. Also, remember, I said this before, I think I said this last episode and this episode, but insecurities are universal. We all have them. You know, when they talked about 66% or something of people feeling bad about themselves or having issues with self-worth, truly, this is an issue that so many of us face. And hopefully that can make us feel like we're not so alone in this world. And finally, use your past self as a benchmark for comparison. So perhaps there are things that in your 20s or in your teens, you weren't that great at. And see, you know, look at yourself now and see how much further along you are, how much better you might be at something, even if that is a small thing, or even if that's, I'm better at communicating about this certain thing with my partner or with my mom or whomever, and celebrate that. And write it down in a journal.
Yeah, this comes up a lot in fitness-related stuff, too, is don't try to lift more than or run farther than or faster than whoever else. It's just keep track of yourself and be like, can I do just a little bit better this time than I did last time? And it's like, oh, maybe I can't, but then maybe next time I'll do better. It's just that you are the only good benchmark to compare yourself to. Yeah. And, you know, but still be kind to yourself in that. If it's been several years since you lifted a weight, don't think like, oh, I'm failing because I'm not lifting as much as I did back then. Totally. But more like, do what you can right now and see if maybe next week you can do just a tiny, tiny bit better than you did this week. And that's how you can really, you know, make big accomplishments, not suddenly trying to go, I want to lift as much as that other person at the gym, or run as far as this person who posts about all their runs on social media, or whatever it is. Gosh,
yeah. So the final thing that we wanted to talk about quickly was the strengths exploration worksheet. And this is something that my therapist gave me that you can Google or look up and do yourself. And we do want to include a link in the show notes so that you can maybe check it out on your own. The initial part of the body of this worksheet is for you to kind of circle your strengths from a big list of choices. And they include things like enthusiasm, kindness, cooperation, humor, confidence, stuff like that. It's just a bunch of different strengths that you have. And there are four different open spaces as well that you can add your own if you see something that's not on the list. So basically, I circled my choices from this big list, and then it explores different ways in which those strengths can be utilized in your life. So the first one is your relationships, the second is your profession, and the third is your personal fulfillment. And it asks essentially, you know, list the strengths that you possess that help you in your relationships, and then it goes through that for your profession and your personal fulfillment. And then it says, describe a specific time your strengths were able to help you in a relationship. And I really like that it gets like very granular, and it makes you think about something very specific that you possess and how that applied and helped you out in your relationships or personal fulfillment or profession in a very specific way. And then it gets you to kind of think outside of the box about how It says, describe two new ways you could use your strengths in relationships or in your profession or in your personal fulfillment. And that's fun. Yeah, just to think outside of the box and try to figure out ways that perhaps you hadn't discussed in your own head or ways that you haven't before used your strengths in a way to help you out in your relationships or in your personal fulfillment or in your profession. So it kind of like gives you a sort of stepping stone to potentially use those strengths in the future.
Something I think is really cool about it is that you start by circling the strengths, like you mentioned, Emily, or writing some more in, because then these questions aren't just like, what's a way you could do better in your relationships? It's of things you've already identified as these are my strengths. What are two ways that I could use these in a yeah. new way to make my relationships better or to make my profession better or to make my personal fulfillment better? I think that's so cool because it's kind of setting you up for that. Oh, look, I've got these resources already. Mm-hmm. I've already got stuff I'm good at. How could I be leveraging those more instead of focusing on all the things I think I'm bad at, which is where yeah. a lot of us tend to go by default, right?
It's all like very positive language, which I really appreciate as well. Because, yeah, a lot of those things out there do say things like, well, what are some areas of improvement? And this doesn't mm-hmm. even really go there. It just is super focusing on let's celebrate all the things that you're good at and that you do well already. And I found that I circled more things than I didn't, which was cool.
Oh,
yeah, that's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we want to hear from you. So on our Instagram stories this week, we're going to be asking the question, who do you compare yourself to? And want to hear whether it's positive or negative or upward or downward. Really curious to see what all y'all have to say. The best place to share your thoughts with other listeners is on the episode discussion channel in our Discord server, or you can also post about it in our private Facebook group. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Emily Matlack, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanetta. The episode was researched by M. Mays. Our production assistants are Rachel Schenowork and Carson Collins. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.